And this morning, we're excited to welcome missionaries to Ecuador. So like when Levita and I first were, actually we were engaged, she had a chance to go on a missions trip to Ecuador. She worked with some missionaries there, the Wilkies. I don't know if you know the Wilkies, but we love the Wilkies. And so we knew them from Washington State. And so they're great people that worked in Ecuador. And so she had a chance to go on a missions trip there and loved it. And so we're excited. So this is it. We have Tim and Debbie Anderson. I don't know if you're both coming up or just you're coming up. You're just Tim's going to come up right now. He's going to take a few minutes, share about some of the stuff God has been doing and is going to do. And so we're very excited. Please welcome him.
I do. Is that on?
Yeah.
Okay. Good to see your smiling faces. I think we were here about 18 or 19. I can't remember exactly, something like that, not too many years ago. But anyway, we're excited to be back. I think we had our book at the time, but I brought some copies if anybody's interested. 30 Stories in 30 Years. Of course, we wrote that about 8 years ago. But interesting short stories about escapes from death, 11th hour deliverances, miracles, and other missionary adventures. Riveting stories with remarkable endings. Remarkable endings is that we lived. So some of the snake stories you got to read during the day, not nighttime. Just a heads up with that. But if they're $15, if you don't have any money, take one and pray. And I mean that. They're in the back table. And now, just recently, we've got 160 devotions that I got from early morning prayer times in Ecuador. And so they're small devotions. You can read in probably 2 or 3 minutes as well. And those will be in the table. Those are $5. And again, if you don't have the $5, take one and pray for us. It's a real snake on my thing. I didn't Photoshop the snake on there, but just put him on there very gingerly and carefully, and then he's not going to cause too many problems. So anyway, those devotions are in that small book back there as well. We're going to show a couple of videos, and this will give a little update on what we've been doing. A road has come deep into the jungle in the last 6 or 7 years. And powerful things are really happening. And so we'll be giving an update on that. And I can't wait to share the word as well. We have a fresh word to share with everybody. Entonces, Señor bendiga, gusto verles, y hasta la próxima, que cuida cada momento su corazón, sus almas, para mantener un enfoque tremendo en Cristo. No vamos a desviar ni la izquierda ni la derecha, vamos fuerte hasta el fin de la vida. ¿Y cuántos dicen gloria a Dios? Gloria a Dios. Amén. For our Spanish speakers, just a little Spanish for them. Didn't get into any false doctrines or anything in that time. Don't worry about that. So anyway, Debbie's going to come up and share for a minute, and then we'll share those two short videos, and then the word. So Dr. Honey, she has her doctorate or PhD in education, and I call her Dr. Honey. So come on up here, Dr. Honey. Amen.
I think it's on now. Thank you. That's better. So, yes, we've been here before. Are the Bullocks here? There you are. But Annie and Caleb aren't here, right? So they both came to Ecuador. Very good work ethic in those two. That's what I remember about them, is that they were very hard workers. So you done well, Mom and Dad. So we are both from Syracuse. Well, we're actually from Baldwinsville, if you know where that is. And back in the 70s, Tim was a student at Cornell. So Tim was, he's a Cornell graduate. I think it's, I don't know, ag economics or something. And So yeah, this is kind of his old stomping grounds here. And then my brother-in-law worked for Ithaca Gun Company. Did you ever remember hearing about Ithaca Gun Company? So they lived in Ithaca, and I remember as a kid just always driving to, she lived on Snyder Hill Road, which is near the pig barns, the sheep barns. So I am here on medical leave because something erupted in my lungs and I didn't know what it was. It turned out I have rheumatoid arthritis and I didn't know I had that, and it's caused fibrosis in my lungs. And so I wrote my boss in March, and I said, I can't breathe. See, we live in the capital city of Ecuador. It's called Quito. And Quito is 2 miles high. So if you've ever gone to Denver, you got to go up a whole nother mile, and there's less oxygen. So if you add the less oxygen with the messed up lungs, I was struggling. So we're here right now, and I'm seeing a rheumatologist, a pulmonologist, my primary care, and they're doing tests, and they're trying to get me some help. So Tim returns back to Ecuador July 3rd, and then I'll continue to try to find a treatment plan for this so that I can return. So I appreciate your prayers. This, you know, you don't expect these things to happen, then all of a sudden they happen. So I'm not too super thrilled about it, but I know the Lord will get us through. In July, we will be married 41 years, and we have 5 kids between 30 and 40. So just let your mind wander about that. It's kind of a rough thing when we first went out. After we were in Ecuador 5 weeks, we got hepatitis A for 8 months. It was not a fun first year. But I'm going to share my verse. I forgot to share my verse over there in Dryden. But this is my life verse, and it's Psalm 57. It's the first verse of Psalm 57, and it goes like this. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So kind of like your, you know, the crux of who you are. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Well, let me tell you what. When you've been on the field about 40 years, we've had a few calamities. And one was a real doozy. Our son ran through a glass wall. It was like a partition. They had like, it was at a school. Set of doors. And they finished it off with these glass 10-foot partitions. But they never put any decals or anything on it. And he was 6 and a half. And somebody was chasing him. Right through the wall. Right through the glass. And his face was cut up quite badly. His ear was cut off, almost cut off. And he has 100 stitches in his head. And then, when you have 5 kids, a lot of broken bones, a lot of stitches, a lot of goofy things. Because the 3 boys are all in the U.S. Air Force. And they're not my kids anymore. They're property of the U.S. government. And those kids are just wild. That's all I can tell you, those boys. So here's son number 1, and he's number 2 in the line. His name is Derek, and I'll tell you why he's on the post standard. 6 years ago this month, he was the director of operations for that Thai cave rescue with a soccer team. Do you remember there was a coach, the Wild Boar team, 12 kids, and his special tactics group was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. And so they just called up and said, hey, we need your platoon, your group, to go to Thailand and get involved in this rescue. And he ended up having to be the director of operations. And I was telling over there in Dryden, you know, in Thailand, they still have a king and they have a prime minister. So the king sent the word to the prime minister to go to my son and say, He didn't want any deaths, any fatalities. Well, how do you predict that? And how can you promise that to a king that you're not going to have one death? They were 3.5 miles in, weren't they, honey? 3.5 miles? 2 miles in. 9 chambers. Many areas that there was no clearance, so it was all completely submerged. And just off the record, they completely anesthetized those kids. Sometimes on the news, you heard that they sedated them. Well, none of them could swim. The coach couldn't swim. And they were afraid of really bad shock, right, or kids panicking. So just the Lord was very good. Nobody died. All 13 were extracted. And this goofball was the head of as a missionary wife, you're pretty much have your separate calling, your certificate. They grilled me, you know, all questions directed to me. And part of that is because if you are the wife, you're pretty much the support system for your husband. So you've got to keep the home intact. You got to do a lot of hospitality, hosting teams, moving. Moving is just really a, I won't say, you fill the blank in. I hate moving. I stopped counting how many moves. And there's no movers. There's no United Van Lines or somebody coming to pack it all up. It's this one packing it up. But again, you know, until these calamities have passed by, he gets us through. And if I could leave you with one word, just hang on. Well, that's two words. Hang on. Cry out. The word for crying out in Spanish is clamar. Clamar. So that you almost like you claim it. And it's really good to learn how to cry out. Amen? So you guys have been supporting us probably since 87. When did the church start here? All I know, it's been a long time. We've been out 38 years, and you're part of the team, and we just thank you so much. It's just a crazy thing that we're here. We shouldn't be here, but maybe this will give you an incentive to pray. Pray for the country of Ecuador. Ecuador is like the Oreo cream between Colombia and Peru, which are the drug-running countries. So we get a lot of prisoners that are traffickers. And right now, Ecuador is still a democracy. But, it's a rough part of the world, South America. But here we are. The Lord's good. The 5 kids love Jesus. I forgot to say, too, in the first service, we have 6 grandkids. And this guy, the one that did the rescue, married the Ecuadorian next-door neighbor. So I have a nuera ecuatoriana. I have a Ecuadorian daughter-in-law. And then those 2 kids are what we call miti-mitis, which are half and halves. So they're half Ecuadorian and they're half North American. They they live in Tampa. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Indiana Jones. He's the modern-day Crocodile Dundee.
Is this on again? Here we go. We're going to show two short videos. The first is going to be about an inauguration we had recently, in about the last month and a half or so. And then after that, it'll show our ministry of our Child Hope Schools in the jungle. And these are the schools that build the young men and women to be the warriors, the ones that are going to be our future ministers and have become that. Some have become missionaries, they're pastors. One of the men speaking there is now become he's the director of our biggest high school there in the jungle. And he used to be just a woodcutter. And he went and completed his education and all the requirements. And he's an incredible guy. You'll see him in there. His name is Wilfredo. And he'll speak in Spanish. We subbed it in English so you can understand it all. But then you can get a little, you can see a little bit of the background in what is going on there. And in the back table, there are forms to fill out if you want to become a part of a partnership in supporting those children. They are the future, they are the present, and they are doing an incredible job and pulling me with their faith into very dangerous areas to preach the gospel, and I'll be sharing a little bit about that later on. So you'll see the inauguration, and then you'll see about the jungle school. So without further ado, I don't know. Oh, there he is up there in the crow's nest. You guys can you can start that. I don't know if you can dim these lights here, but then I'll give the word.
In the lush Ecuadorian jungle, in the province of Pastaza, a beacon of hope and faith emerges, the New Life in Christ Church. This church, located in the community of Shuara, stands as a beacon of light, illuminating hearts with the Word of God. Here, in this church, the values of the Kingdom of God are preached with fervor. Each word is spoken is like a ray of light that penetrates the darkness, renewing hope and love in every soul that hears it. We thank God for every hand that has contributed to the construction of this temple. We thank those who, with generosity and sacrifice, have contributed financial resources and have dedicated their physical effort to each foundation, each wall, and each raised roof. It is thanks to the collaboration and selfless love of each of you that today we can inaugurate this sacred place. May the light of Christ continue to shine in our hearts and in our community, guiding us along the path of peace and redemption. May this church be a refuge for those in need, a meeting place for those who embrace the sacrifice of Christ, and the symbol of hope for all who seek it. May the divine presence be felt in every corner of this church, inspiring and transforming lives for generations to come. May this be the beginning of a new era of blessings and miracles. May the work of God prosper in this place, and may His infinite love embrace all who come here in search of comfort and salvation. As we gather in this sacred space, let us remember the journey that has brought us here. It is a journey of faith, perseverance, and unwavering dedication. Through challenges and triumphs, we have remained steadfast in our commitment to bring this sanctuary to life. In the heart of the jungle, amidst the sounds of nature's symphony, we have built more than just walls and roofs. We have built a sanctuary of hope, a place where souls can find solace, strength, and renewal. It is a testament to the power of community, to the boundless love of God, and to the resilience of the human spirit. As we embark on this new chapter, let us carry forth the light that shines within these walls. Let us be beacons of hope and vessels of compassion, reaching out to those in need and spreading the message of love and salvation. Together, let us continue to build not just structures, but bridges of understanding and unity, connecting hearts and souls across borders and beliefs.
Hi, we're Tim and Debbie Anderson, Assembly of God World Missionaries here in Ecuador for more than 31 years. We want to thank you for your faithful support that has kept us here. Without you, we wouldn't be here. I'd like to present a new and exciting project that we're involved with, the Latin American Child Care Schools in the deep Amazon rainforest where there's no road access. We hike up to 8 hours after flying or driving in to get to our different villages. We have approximately 400 students that are in our four schools.
Yo me llamo Wilfrido Chiriapa, coordinador del Colegio 24 de Octubre. Estoy trabajando 5 años y más 3 profesores. Calculamos 400 alumnos que están participando en diferentes, son de diferentes pueblos que están asistiendo aquí para formar y trabajamos para formación profesional a todos los pueblos shuaras que vivimos aquí en esta selva amazónica. pero estamos luchando para que nuestros jóvenes un día sean mejores profesionales. Participe, que represente a su pueblo, que represente a un país y que valorar la cultura.
Me llamo Mónica Guacho, yo soy de Tres Marías, estoy en primer año de bachillerato. Hago 3 horas para venir en esta comunidad Cusutka y este colegio me ha gustado porque nos enseña lo mejor. Y mi objetivo es cuando ya me gradúe quiero ser enfermera y ayudar a mi pueblo.
Mi nombre es Diego Ushinia, soy el pastor de aquí de Cusutka. Estamos encargados de la formación cristiana, valor en cada uno de los niños. ¿Cuál es nuestra visión a futuro? Levantar liderazgo en cada uno de los niños y esas generaciones que Dios ha puesto en estas manos, ya que la Biblia lo dice, soy el Dios de Abraham, Isaac y de Jacob. Y nuestra visión es ahora trabajar en cada uno de los niños, cultivar una buena enseñanza en valores, en principios cristianos, para que a futuro ellos lo puedan replicar en sus hogares, ya que no solamente son niños, son futuras papás y futuras mamás. Y si nosotros trabajamos en ellos, estamos trabajando en los futuros líderes de estas comunidades.
¿Qué me encanta, en cambio, de la comunidad Shuar, de estos jóvenes? Son un potencial, tienen tanto que dar, una creatividad innata que hay en ellos, que en el medio que viven se explota todo lo que ellos puedan crear y para jugar y divertirse. Y nosotros aprovechamos en este corto tiempo, sacamos todo eso que ellos tienen, cada uno individualmente, de forma individual. Me encanta cómo su curiosidad les permite aprender, les encanta aprender lo nuevo. Tienen una inteligencia, una memoria retentiva, visual, que eso nos ayuda totalmente a trabajar con ellos.
We only have sponsors for 25% of those students. We desperately need your help to be able to sponsor the others and run these schools efficiently as God wants us to. The Christian education in the Shuar Nation, these former headhunters, will make all the difference in the world. Some of our graduates are currently professors, political leaders that affect the whole Shuar Nation, 125,000 strong. Please consider prayerfully supporting this school, supporting the work in the Amazon rainforest with your prayers and monthly giving. Thank you so much.
Just want to reiterate what Tim said, that one of the greatest investments that you can make in a Christian child is their education. And we ask you to just team up with us. Find a child that you see on the table, pick that child up, his portfolio, and begin to support his education or her education for just a small amount every month. And it will make a huge difference in the kingdom of God advancing in the Amazon region of Ecuador. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
So Tim's going to come back up and share a little bit more here in just a moment. We wanted to make sure that you knew about these projects going on before, so we changed the order a little bit. So I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward because we know people are like, hey, what are we giving towards? And so this morning, if you are interested in giving towards the missions work they're doing at all on top of your tithes, regular tithes and offerings, we want to invite you to do that. You can absolutely do that. And you can always text to give or give online, or if you're like, hey, I just need to fill it out and put it in the box or in the baskets, however you give. We do appreciate all that you do to help the ministry of Asbury Church. The church has been supporting them for years. We love and believe that God wants to work here in Lansing, in Dryden, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and is doing great things. And so just as you give this morning, thank you for all that you are doing. And so we're going to pray, and then Tim's going to come back up and share a little bit more with us this morning. So, Father, thank you once again that you bless us so that we can be a blessing. And just thank you for the work that they're doing, and we just pray that you would continue to work in and through them. We just pause in this moment. We do want to lift up Debbie to you. Just pray that you would touch her body and heal her. And just pray for our sister here that you would work miracles and healing, give the doctors direction in her life, Lord. And just thank you for the tools that we have to address the issues. And we thank you for that. And once again, thank you for all that you bless us with. In your name we pray. Amen, amen. So thank you as you give, and Tim can come back up. To the church. Yeah, you can in your memo, if you put in your memo missions, we'll take care of it for today, and we'll make sure. And if it's beyond today, you can put Tim missions.
All right. Back in the table there, if you are interested in supporting one of those children, their pictures and everything is out there. And this is our main way of really seeing the mighty work go forth deep in the jungle. And it's $36 a month, and you'll get a packet. You don't need any money today. Some people just put it on their credit card. That's what I've done, too, to support this, and they will do an auto deduct. But pray about that. You will have great fruit to your account when these children rise up to become the incredible warriors in Christ and bring many people to the Lord, as some are doing already, and many, many more. So pray about becoming a sponsor and pray for them. And I've got about 10 or 11, I think, there, and I need those to be taken before I go back July 3rd. So if you take them all today, I will be so happy. And then we'll be ready to continue on. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Your Bibles. We're going to talk today about an area of our lives, principles, scriptural principles, about living the life of faith and seeing every day as a good day. I was in my devotions this last week or so, and all of a sudden this song came back to me. This is a song from the 70s, and there are some that were alive then that are here. And the song is, "Every Day is a Victory When You Put It in the Hands of the Lord." Anybody remember that song? Every day is a victory when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Every day is a glory day. Another verse is, "Every day is a song of praise." Beautiful song, and Debbie's been going crazy. I've been playing it a lot this last week. Whenever she least suspects it, I put that on. But there's so much power in that when you put it in God's hands. And I just have been thinking about that and how important that is to be able to do that every single day. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Three powerful principles in those three verses. Rejoice always. Always in the Greek means always. Pray constantly. Whenever there's a need, open it up and lift it up before God. Right there. Just take a moment and do that. Always be ready to pray. Remember this one time when I found out that my father-in-law, the judge, Debbie's father, he was a criminal court judge in Syracuse, Ormond Gale, well known and respected. In fact, did the first connection with Teen Challenge. Instead of going to prison, first offenders, he opened up that whole program to send them Teen Challenge. And I was had worked in Teen Challenge in Syracuse, lived among them for that ministry for about 8 years before going to Ecuador. And Teen Challenge started in New York City. A lot of you have heard of that. So anyway, he had hurt his hip. He had problems in his hip area, and the doctors couldn't do anything for him. And I had been praying, of course, a lot for him and just asking the Lord to help. And all of a sudden, when I went by him, I was in the house, I just grabbed his hands and just prayed just for about 30 seconds. And I thought, what have I done? I grabbed the judge's hands here. I just grabbed him and prayed. And he was shocked as we all were at that moment. And nothing happened that day. But when he woke up the next morning, totally healed, he gave God the glory for that healing. Amen? Just be ready in season and out. I was helping painting the inside of his house and doing some things like that. And just be ready to pray or lift up people continually and keep praying for Debbie. The Lord will teach and or heal her and reach into her with his nail-pierced hands and heal those lungs of hers. Amen. God will show himself powerfully to do that as he's able to. There was this short I saw on YouTube not too many days back when Ben Shapiro, you know, the conservative commentary, he said, had this comedian on, a very clean comedian who was evidently, he had a Cuban mother and I think an American father. And he came back and this comedian's talking and, you know, and he's funny as I'll get out. I can't do him justice. But he talks about when he was complaining to his mother one day, which was not a good idea, about how hard it was at school. He was dealing with some real issues, and he says, and she goes, so you had a hard day at school, huh? And, of course, he's got the whole accent down really well, but he is very respectful to her. He goes, so did someone steal your freedom? You know, in other words, what do you got to complain about? You still have your freedom. You still have your ability to choose. Somebody run around and just grab it and say, hey, you're not free anymore. You know, in other words, you didn't have a bad day. You just had a little challenge going on, of course. But there are no bad days for when we see the perspective from God's point of view that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free in Christ. If we will maintain our trust and our hope in him, we will be free. And we will maintain that freedom as we trust in him. And that doesn't mean there aren't going to be difficult days, challenging days, but we're going to suffer with a purpose. Does that make sense? A lot of people, all of us are going to suffer, but let's make it purposeful. Let's make it meaningful. Let's make it count. And a lot of times we suffer from our own foolishness, our own sin, our own errors, and of course, that's part of the whole gamut as well. But when we suffer, let's keep our hearts turned toward Jesus and say, Lord, show me what is in this for me during this suffering. Let me look to you in this. Remember a lot of different people that have gone through incredible experiences that have died, actually had divine encounters. Some in hell, some in heaven, some both. We actually had a woman. Her name is Teresa, 47 years old, who had very severe health problems, severe diabetes, and a lot of other things. She was bedridden for over a year. And finally in the hospital, after going through some incredible suffering, put her in intensive care, trying to save her life, and didn't. Ended up putting her in the morgue. She died, but it wasn't the end. She came back 2.5 days later. I've got the whole testimony from her husband and her adult daughter who were there with her and also her other children. She had 7 children, and they all testify to this happening. They had her grave. They're preparing it right in the village there, and she went to heaven. And she said, Jesus opened this huge Bible. She didn't know any better. It was the Book of Life. And said, Teresa, where's your name? She goes, but it should be in there somewhere. It should be in there. She goes, and he's looking for it. He goes, I don't see it, Teresa. And she goes, well, what about my husband? And Jesus said, he's not your husband. He's your companion. You never married him legally. He busted her. He actually says, and she, because a lot, schwa custom, it's like with now with a lot more contact, they could legalize their marriage, but they never did, never made it legally, officially. She changed that right quick and in a hurry after she came back, if you can believe that. And then she went to hell, actually, and stood behind Jesus because of the incredible heat and saw that it was Hades. Of course, it was the lake of fire is not fully manifested yet because of that will come after the last judgment. But she saw a prison with three different compartments. The thieves, the liars, and the perverse were in that. And she said, what? And it was amazing. She was like, Lord, I don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus said, okay, I will see you. And he puts his hand up like this. That means five to the Shuar. When you go like that, that means five. 5 months, 5 weeks, 5 days, 5 years, 5 decades. Well, it's not 5 months or 5 days. And it's been about 4 years. We'll see if she has another year left or if she makes the 5 years, she'll go on to 5 decades. I don't know. But she has won hundreds of people to Christ by giving her testimony around the jungle. She was bedridden, and when she came back, little by little, her strength came back in town, and now she's able to walk around, she couldn't do that. She was on death's door, and now she has her strength and her health back, and she is fiery to talk about Christ. And if you want that, Debbie can give you that website. You can hear her testimony. We have it dubbed in English. We have it in Spanish, Shuar, and dubbed in English. So, Debbie, you'll do that for people, won't you? Thank you, honey. Incredible testimony. And the father and her daughter also testifying. And the people around who know her know the difference, the transformation that's happened to her since coming back. And so, to me, it's not the greatest that people say, oh, it's impossible. You're not going to go to heaven until, you know, the final trumpet call, and they'll try to quote scripture. All I know is she's winning many, many people to Christ, and she's not backing down on what happened to her. She is showing a lot of fruit. And that's the thing I look for when people talk about having divine encounters of any sort. What is the fruit now that's happening in your life because of it? Amen? What is happening because of that? I had an incredible vision in 1978. I was a young Christian, 3 years old in the Lord, in 78, a lot more than 3 years old age-wise, but I was taken up and saw the banqueting table of the Lamb. Incredible, some other incredible things. And it was interesting. I saw a huge ring of fire around the whole planet. And that was a signal that Jesus was now coming back for the bride. And when that ring of fire appeared, and this was in my vision, whatever you were at that moment, that's what you were. That was the cutoff point right there. In other words, if you were with Christ, you were leaving with him. If you were not right with God, you were staying with the Antichrist. That was as simple as it got. You didn't have time to bend your knees down or to say anything, what you were when that appeared. And also interesting, there was a pause. It didn't happen that second, and I don't know if it was hours later or several days later, but there was a pause, actually. And there's some interactions and things that happened. I'm not going to get into the whole theological part of it. Needless to say that no one ever expected that day for Jesus to come back. Everybody had some other day planned, but it threw everybody off. And so whatever you were, that's what you were. The whole idea, I believe, behind the Lord saying, no one knows the day or the hour, only the Father, is to always be ready if he comes anytime. Be ready. And that can happen now. in the next days or years or 100 years from now. We don't know. I don't, there's no date. But I remember the whole environment, the people that were ready. There was so much joy, you couldn't even contain it. And if you weren't ready, there was great, paralyzing, unmitigated terror and fear that you couldn't even put on the charts. Those both things existed side by side. Incredible. And so, needless to say, that had a powerful effect on me to say, this is real. This will happen, whether it happens soon or time yet. But I'm expecting there'll be great revival before all this happens. Jesus wants people, I think he wants us to go out with a blaze of glory and bring in a great, great influx of souls before he actually comes. A lot more to do. We are entering now, as Debbie shared, into our 38th year as missionaries. A road has come deep into the jungle the last 6 to 7 years. And we are beginning building a Bible school complex. That's what the offering will go for. In the midst of that Bible school, we have about 25 students currently that study there. But we're building a prayer tower that will be used for constant prayer that will go with evangelism. Charles Finney and Daniel Nash, the intercessor, saw powerful manifestations of God in the 1830s, the 40s, 50s when he was preaching. He's from Charles Finney, Rochester area, and Charles Nash is from Lowville, New York. And I saw his tomb there a couple years ago. And all it says is, mighty in prayer accompanied Charles Finney in his campaigns. Just a very simple tombstone. But he would go. Nash was a retired Presbyterian minister, pastor, up in Lowville. And he had to retire at age 49 because he was too old. How's that sound? Anybody think 49 sounds old? 49 sounds really young to me these days. I don't know why. But back then, if you were 49, I guess you were about ready to be washed up. So he had no choice. But for the next 7 years, he would go and pray several weeks or a month ahead of Finney and find some place and just go pray continually, sometimes by himself, sometimes with one or two other men. And powerful, powerful, powerful things happened. Just incredible. The most violent, foul drunkards of these communities, these men which were so resistant, Nash would say, I'm going after him. And after he goes down, everybody else will fall. I'm going after the worst of the worst. And so kind of the way Teen Challenge started, with Nikki Cruz becoming the first convert and student in the whole Teen Challenge ministry with his powerful testimony and how God transformed him. And he's still alive, still an evangelist. He's getting close to 80 years old and has won many, many, many thousands to Christ. But he was one of the worst. But God, bringing him in, brought many, many in after him. We have about 600, more than 600 villages deep in the jungle that are isolated, difficult to get to, dangerous to go to. We're looking to focus on those 600 villages deep, deep in the jungle. Some of our guys have already been to some of them, a few of them, and there's still headhunting going there, around there, still cannibalism. They don't put that in the guidebooks, you know, coming to Ecuador. Please come and see our cannibals and our headhunters. It doesn't really bring the tourist in as many as you'd like. But these are very deep in the jungle, and the only way to get there is days and days and days of hiking to get there. And these young men said, Brother Tim, we're not afraid. Jesus is with us. He's protecting us. We were there to preach the gospel. And their faith is just pulling me with them. It's like if they're willing to risk their lives to do this, what am I going to do? To leave them, to not to support that? That's why, although we've been there a long time, there's so much more to do. And there's still gasoline in the tank. I don't know when you speak Spanish all the time, you forget all your English. I don't know how much gas is still left in the tank. You know, it doesn't work anymore. I don't want to check, but there's a verse that says, "As your days will be, so shall your strength be." Isn't that a good verse? As your days shall be, and say, "Lord, give me strength for each day that you have, whether it's going to be few or many. I want to be faithful to complete my assignment." Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord. Those are the only words that will mean anything to us when it's all said and done. We want to finish our assignment. Psalm 139:16 says, "Isn't it not written in your book before any of them came to pass?" It talks about our individual books that are written for us to complete. Talks about that assignment or what is in there that we are to complete. Jesus, of course, on the cross cried out, "It is finished." He finished everything that the Father asked of him to do. The Apostle Paul said, "I have finished my race." He said that before he was done. He said, "I finished it." Wow. Earlier in Philippians, he says, "I don't look behind to the regrets, to the failures, or the successes, but I'm looking forward to all that Christ has for me." We want to have that same spirit. Lord, don't let us look back and sit there in a pool of regret and disappointment because of how we've missed the mark at different times and not done what he's wanted. We can say, "Lord, help me with your grace today complete what you have for me." And then the next day, his mercies are new every morning. And then at the end, then we will want to be able to say, "Lord, I've finished all that you've asked for me to do." And that's what we want to do. We say, "Lord, whatever you have, help us to finish that. And then we will die in peace." And to me, that's the most important thing, is to finish our assignment. And wow, time has flown by. It's coming in close to 40 years now. But I feel a reset. It's time to really keep focusing in on whether we got 7 years left, 7 days left, or it gives me a good another 15 years. I don't know. But we want to be faithful and say, "Lord, help me finish my assignment. Help me complete all that's in the book." There are incredible opportunities. I believe also, and I don't forget all either, about the ones that I have here. I have a lot of relatives that aren't Christians yet. I have a lot that still need to come to Christ. I just talked to, for the first time in 55 years, my oldest cousin. Her name is Terry, who lives in Buffalo. And I was at her wedding when I was 14, and she was in her 20s, early 20s. And I haven't seen or heard from her in 55 years. I was able to pray and share the gospel with her father, my Uncle Ross, when he was 90, and my Aunt Shorty. I call her Shorty because she was short. And he was very resistant. In fact, kicked me out of the house. But we were praying so intensely. I had a couple of guys I'd pray with on Saturdays and really focused. And finally, the Lord spoke to my mom, who was 80 years old, "Go talk to Ross. It's time to talk." And he was getting weaker and weaker. The reason why I was so desperate to speak to him, and I did several times, and praying for him really hard for the whole year during furlough 2010, is because it would be 4 more years till I would be back in the States. And I said, "He will never be alive for 4 more years. He's getting so bad now, Now is the time. You have to strike while the iron's hot, while he's still alive. And so a lot of prayer went up, and my mom finally, and it makes, she's 80 years old, makes that trip to visit Ross and Shorty. And she's sitting there, and Shorty is fake sleeping. So my mom will leave, pretending she's sleeping up in the chair. And Ross is now bedridden. He's in the other room, maybe about 20 feet away, and very weak. And my mom's sitting there, why am I here? What am I doing? Shorty's sleeping, supposedly. And Ross is over in there in the bed there, and the nephew, Eric, was watching. Eric's probably in his 60s at that point. And all of a sudden, my Uncle Ross cries out, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive Christ. Wow. I wanted to pray before when I said, you want to pray? And he would let me pray for healing for him, but he wouldn't let me pray salvation. And Aunt Shorty wanted to come to Christ, but he blocked it, kicked me out of the house. But I wasn't discouraged because I knew there were still a few more days to talk to him and to pray. And he came to Christ, she came to Christ, made their peace with God, and died within 2 months of that date. She died first, and he died 3 weeks after Aunt Shorty. Both are in heaven, both with the Lord now. But what an incredible battle. And I had people to pray with me, to encourage me, some great men of God that I've known over the years, to see that happen. And now, going after his oldest daughter, who's in her late 70s, and that I haven't seen in 55 years. So each of us has a divine obligation to pray for loved ones, even though we haven't seen them maybe in years and years and years. Doesn't matter. God knows how to prepare. When I called her, she goes, this is amazing. My daughter was asking, what happened to the Andersons? What happened to the other family? I never had any contact, didn't know how to get a hold of anybody. And my daughter was asking, she wanted to know about, you know, the rest of the family, just like a few days ago. And then I call her, and then she goes, we'll have a reunion. We'll get everybody together, and we're going to do that in these months to come. We're going to have that time and have a chance to share the gospel. We want to not forget our relatives or give up on them. You may be the only one praying for them, but it is powerful. It says in Revelations 5:8 about the prayers of the saints going up and being collected, accumulated in the bowl. And then the angels add incense into the bowl, then it's sent down on the earth with great thunderings, great power, and to accomplish its purpose. I see it that way. We're going to have a huge mural in the prayer tower that shows the prayers of the saints going up, accumulating in the bowl, Revelation 5:8, and then going down on the earth to its intended target. That's what happens with our prayers. In our first term, when we were having an every night tent campaign for 2 years in a row, 2 years running, we went 7 nights a week with church services in our huge tent. And we gained 300 people to Christ that were now attending and that we were now discipling and were members of the church. We're down to the last 6 months, and the landlord, of the owner of the property that we're renting from, absolutely refused to renew the lease or even wanted to sell it to us. He tried to kick us off a number of times. And I said, Lord, we're going to lose. Debbie and I are going to go in 6 months to our furlough. We'll be gone for a full year. We will lose everything we've labored for so hard for the last, at that point, a year and a half of services. And it would be another 6 months. And it's like, in desperation, I got up at 4:30 every morning, Monday to Friday, and went up to the tent campaign site and just cried out before God. just cried out, Lord God, have mercy and move. As the rivers, the channels of water, the heart of the king or those in authority is in your hand. Direct them however you will. You direct the heart of this landlord. You direct his heart to either extend the lease or to sell the property to us. You direct his heart. 2 weeks before we were ready to leave, at 5 months and a half, I'd been there, had not missed one of the days, Monday to Friday, because I was desperate. Being desperate is a good thing, as long as you direct it in the right way. Against his will, he buckled and broke and sold us the property for a cheap price. And then after we had the deed, the title deed in hand, he was mad at himself that he did it. What have I done? What have I done? Like Pharaoh letting the children of Israel go, what have I done? I tried to pursue him, and that didn't turn out too good for him. That property now has had, we've had a church there over 36 years. One of our original members now is the pastor. This is after many years. Leadership from the original pastor I worked with, who works with me directly now in other ministries, is the head pastor, and now has started 4 other works all throughout the country. And through this hub, thousands and thousands more have come to Christ because we won it in prayer. We had to win that in prayer. I was amazed and even couldn't believe that God actually did that. But he wants to do it. It's not his will that any would perish. All would come to repentance. He says that. And he wants to answer our prayers. He wants to. And that became a very praying church, incredibly focused, intense praying church because of the battle, that 6-month battle to see that happen. Incredible things. And so the same with the prayer tower. We are looking to see tens of thousands of Shuar Indians come to Christ because of that prayer tower and prayer going up continually and the Shuar missionaries going out deep into the jungle to bring many to Christ in these years until Jesus returns. And so please pray about becoming a part of that. And if you're interested in supporting that prayer tower in particular, we still need about $20,000 to help finish it off. That's a major, major need to finish it off. And I want to try to finish it off, if at all possible, by the end of this year, so we can start our prayer vigils in that prayer tower. God has great plans for the deep jungles of Ecuador, these headhunters that Satan has had in bondage for thousands of years. Now I've seen a great light and more to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for putting into our hearts, Lord, your desires. As we delight in you, Jesus, you will give us the desires of our heart. As we delight in you, as you are our delight, your desires become our desires. And Lord, I know that you want the Shuar Indians, Lord, deep into the Amazon rainforest to come to Christ. Satan had held them in captivity, in slavery, in bondage to the witch doctors, to the fear, to the suspicion, Lord, to utter decimating their numbers through killings, Lord, back and forth throughout the years, throughout the millennia. But Lord Jesus, you're doing a great thing deep in the jungle. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to come to where we are now with the Bible school and to finish this prayer tower, which will have great effect for the whole Shuar Nation, that we can finish it, Lord God, as you want us to, and begin, Lord, the prayer vigils and the focused, intense prayers that fill up the bowls in heaven, mixed with incense sent on the earth, target exactly where you want it to be targeted, that you will do, Lord, and complete
the good work that you've started, according to Philippians 1:6. You've begun the good work. Bring it to completion, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for joy, which is our strength. And as our days will be, so shall our strength be, your word says. And thank you, Lord, for this great missions-minded church that has supported Debbie and I for almost 40 years now. Thank you and bless them. And keep the fires burning here as a great beacon all around the Lansing-Ithaca area, as well as all around the world and deep into the jungles, the Amazon rainforest of Ecuador as well. And they will share with their prayers, with their support, in the fruit of the souls that come to Christ because of their involvement with it. You have a way of accounting for all those things, Jesus. And we're so grateful, Lord, to be here. Give them a good report. Great things are happening and more to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What I want to do here is, as Pastor Dave says, we are a full contact church. And so just before we go, we just want to invite Tim and Debbie down here. We would like to gather around them and pray for them. The ministry that's going on, because this is all happening together. And so if you guys would come down here, we just like to gather around you, pray for you, and just pray for just continued healing with your body, Debbie, and just the ministry that you guys head out and all the work that's going on. So please gather around, lay a hand on a shoulder, and let's lift them up in prayer together and the work that's going on in Ecuador.
Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for the word that's shared with us today, the hope that we've seen, the work that you're doing through the ministry there in Ecuador, you've been doing and want to continue to do. You've got vision beyond today, vision beyond our lifetimes, Lord. We are operating within the big picture of what you've got going on. We just pray for Tim and Debbie Anderson and just the ministry that they're doing, Lord. We just thank you for that. Just pray your continued blessing upon them as they go and share all that you've been doing around the churches here in New York as Tim heads back, and just pray for that continued inspiration ministry and life that would be breathed into the jungles and cities of Ecuador. Lord, we thank you so much for that. And just we do once again lift up Debbie to you. Just pray that you would work a healing miracle in her life and give the doctors guidance and direction and wisdom, and just for patience in all of this, Lord, knowing that your hand is working and operating, that we can put our lives in you consistently. We thank you so much for all that you do, for all that you are, Lord, and just we thank you for your incredible love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing with us. They've got a table back there. You can talk to them after the service. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and bring you peace. Go in his strength and his might. Hug a lot of people.
You know where Beaverly
and have
Nature
a good week.
Center
Amen.
Is.